Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Fall is a huge month for publishing. So every Friday this month, we've been taking time to spotlight exciting new books released. Today, we present a novel with a protagonist you just can't help but fall in love with, by an author you likely already know and adore. The narrator of the latest novel from acclaimed writer Miriam Taves is Swiv, a precocious 9-year-old girl, or as she cheekily tells someone in the book, she's 100 months old. She lives in Toronto with her mother and her grandmother. Swiv is a real sponge, picking up phrases from the women in her life that aren't really suitable for the classroom, expressions like fascist prick and plug your pie hole. It's no surprise she's been suspended from school. The book starts with a letter Swiv is writing to her dad. Here we go. Her absent dad, I should say. Hi, Dad. How are you? I was expelled. Have you ever heard of Choice Time? That's my favorite class. I do Choice Time at the Take Apart Center, which is the place in our classroom where we put on safety goggles and take things apart. It's a bit dangerous. The first half of the class, we take things apart, and then Madame rings a bell, which means it's the second half of the class and we're supposed to put things back together. It doesn't make sense because it takes way longer to put things back together than take them apart. I tried to talk to Mom about it, and she said I should just start putting things back together sooner before Madame rings the bell. But when I did that, Madame told me I had to wait for the bell. I told Madame about the problem with time, but she didn't like my tone, which was a lashing out tone, which I'm supposed to be working on. Mom is in her third trimester. She's cracking up. Gourd is trapped inside her. I asked her what she wanted for her birthday, and she said a cold IPA and a holiday. Grandma lives with us now. She has one foot in the grave. She's not afraid of anything. I asked her where you were, and she said, that's the $64,000 question. She says she misses Grandpa. She said that by the time she gets to heaven, he'll probably have left. Men, she said, they come and they... Swiv spends a lot of time with her grandmother, Elvira, a woman with a real zest for life. For example, when leaning on her granddaughter's shoulders to help her walk, Elvira will yell, conga line. Elvira loves to watch sports, harass police officers, and get up to hijinks with her granddaughter, but her exuberance masks her deep grief, as her life has been marked by tragic loss and an upbringing in a strict religious community. And then there's Swiv's mom, Mushi, a single mother and actress who is pregnant with her second child. Unlike Grandma, Mushi's a bit high-strung and more prone to outbursts of rage than joy. She's struggling to keep it all together. Miriam Taves tells the story of these three women based on figures from her own life with joy, humor, and tenderness. The novel is titled Fight Night. Now, you may remember Miriam from her last book, the acclaimed novel Women Talking. She came on the show to discuss it back in 2019, and I'm thrilled to welcome her back. Hi, Miriam.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for having me. I like that reading. That was great.
I'm so glad. So, when did you decide that your narrator was going to be 9 years old?
I think it was around the time when I was thinking about what it was I was going to be writing. And I started having grandchildren, many grandchildren all in a row. And I wanted to write something that would make them laugh, something that would attempt to answer some maybe hard questions that they might have about their family, about stuff that we've experienced, stuff that they may have inherited along the way. And I didn't know how to do it. And I thought, okay, well, if I write, you know, and it's not a kid's book, obviously, it's a, you know, but I thought if I had a 9-year-old narrator, at least a kid narrator, you know, that would be a way of going into these subjects and to describe or show or represent the lives of these women that Swiv is living with, you know, in a kind of direct, sort of somewhat naive way, somewhat knowing way, but just in that space that, from that space that, you know, like that 9-year-olds inhabit, which is kind of between knowing and not knowing, mm-hmm. sort of, you know, on their way to puberty, you know, starting to question things. And I just thought that was a good place to, you know, to write from.
What was challenging about capturing a 9-year-old, especially a precocious one?
Yeah, I mean, the voice, that was the biggest challenge for sure, writing the book to make sure that, you know, that the tone was right, that Swiv's kind of, you know, her bullshit bravado, her supposed...
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. My guest is Miriam Taves. We're talking about her new novel, Flight Night. So Swiv is writing letters to her father, who is absent. Why is she writing to him?
Well, she's writing to him because first of all, she's writing as a, you know, as a form of survival, which is, you know, how, why I write. I mean, and she's trying to explain to him where she is, who she's living with, what she's doing, what her life is all about. She doesn't know where he is, and she's anxious. And it's a way to you know, express herself and get some of that stuff out there.
According to Grandma and or Swiv, they are a family of fighters. Swiv says on page 34, fighting is so hard and we're never supposed to stop. What does fighting mean for each of these characters? Swiv, Mushi, and Grandma.
Yeah, it means different things. I mean, of course, it's a fight for survival, but it's more than that. It's a fight for, you know, for self-realization, for agency, for joy. And so for Swiv, I mean, it's just a, you know, a sort of ongoing thing. I mean, she's afraid of her mother going crazy. She's afraid of her grandma dying. These are two mm-hmm. things that weigh heavily on her. And then that's the kind of stuff that she's fighting all of the time, these dark thoughts. And her mother is fighting everything that women of a certain age. And, you know, she's pregnant. She's 40. She's single. She's working. She's trying to get jobs as an actress. There aren't many. And she's trying to, you know, pay the bills, and of course, and deal with their past. All of these women come from religious fundamentalism, very patriarchal, controlling culture, and they're dealing with that. They're dealing with the thread of mental illness within their family, of suicide. There's a lot of stuff that they're you know, just struggling with, and but also fighting. In the case of the book, also means knowing when to stop fighting. Hmm. You know, mm-hmm. when to negotiate surrender, as it were, and when to give it up.
Just because I don't want to believe everything I read on the internet, so I always ask questions, which I know the answer is yes, but I want to ask you just because. The grandmother in this book, Elvira, is she inspired by your own mother, also named Elvira?
Yes, absolutely. That particular thing on the internet that you're, it's true. yeah, absolutely. My mother has lived with me and my partner, and now also my kids and grandchildren. We all kind of live together in this, you know, big thing. And she's lived with me for the last 10 years. After my sister died, we decided that, you know, we really needed to be together. And she's just this remarkable force, this life force in our lives. And a source of, you know, wisdom and joy and, you know, exasperation, obviously. But I wanted to write about her. I know that my grandchildren, for instance, aren't really going to know her. They're young and she's old and, you know, she's not going to be around forever. So absolutely. Yeah. The character of Elvira in the book is inspired by her and named after her.
Has she read the book?
Definitely. Yes. She's my biggest reader, my first reader. And yeah.
Oh, is she always your first reader?
Or? Well, I mean, she's not necessarily my first reader
among
after
the
draft, but among the first. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. She mostly reads whodunits, of course, but mm-hmm. you know, every once in a while, every few years when I have a book out, she'll have to read some, you know, literary fiction.
Does she have a particular skill set as a reader or as an editor that you've noticed that's been really helpful?
Well, you know, she loves to laugh, and so she'll tell me if my jokes aren't landing, and if you know, and also, you know, I think she reads with a real sense of with a kind of, you know, a tone, like she's alert to bitterness and to mm-hmm. a kind of, you know, sort of all-consuming despair that I might have a tendency to create and need to pull back from, and she's good, you know, she catches that stuff.
My guest is Miriam Taves. The name of the new book is Flight Night. You know, 9-year-old Swiv's mother can have these outbursts. Swiv calls them going scorched earth, I think. Mm-hmm. She will yell, she'll throw things. And Swiv, being a kid, can't quite seem to understand. What emotions are driving these outbursts?
Yeah, Swiv's mom, Mushi, is... She's angry. She's recovering from a nervous breakdown, mm-hmm. and And she's also, you know, afraid that she's inherited this gene, this, you know, and is struggling with, you know, with a form of mental illness, really. And she doesn't know where, you know, her husband is, Swift's father. She's trying to take care of her mother. I mean, she's overwhelmed. She's burnt out. She's trying to, like I said before, you know, get gigs, acting gigs. She's, you know, a woman of a certain age, and that's difficult. She, you know, so she has these outbursts, it's true. And Swiv, and they alarm Swiv. And, you know, Swiv sort of rushes to her aid. I mean, it drives her crazy and it scares Swiv, but she also, you know, rushes to her aid, when it happens. And then of course, you know, Swiv's mom is filled with regret and, you know, and apologizes and that's kind of, I think that's a familiar rhythm for, you know, for people. People would understand that, you know, when they're living with people who are suffering from that kind of illness, in a sense, or, you know, or even if you just want to call it from anxiety, you know, or depression. It's just that kind of roller coaster, and it's difficult for Swiv, you know, being nine, feeling responsible for her mom and also desperately afraid that, you know, her mom's going to do something terrible.
Is Mushi angry or jealous or some other emotion about the relationship between Swiv and the grandmother?
I don't think that she's angry or jealous, but certainly, you know, I think Mushi would love to be able to relax into, to melt into that kind of zany, sort of carefree, freewheeling life that Swiv and Grandma have created for themselves as they, you know, motor around town and do fun things, and as Grandma attempts to homeschool Swiv. I know that, you know, Swiv's mom would like to be more inside that world, but of course she, you know, has the concerns of you know, of a woman her age, mother, and needing to go out and leave that, you know, that happy place and survive and work. So yeah, there is a sense of jealousy for sure, longing.
We're talking about the novel Fight Night. My guest is Miriam Taves. So the grandma in this book has dealt with a lot of tragedy in her life and trauma. She lost her husband. She lost her daughter to suicide. This is drawn from your own life. But she's not a sad person at all. And you can understand why she would be, but she isn't. The narration says she had to ask herself how she would survive grief. And her answer was, who can I help?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, please go ahead.
Which is what, you know, which is exactly what my own mother said after my sister died. You know, it's what she asked herself. How am I going to survive this? My father had died, committed suicide. And then my sister 10 years later, and she said, my mother said, how am I going to survive this? A question that of course we were all asking ourselves. And her answer to herself was, who can I help? And so, you know, she moved here to Toronto with me. She joined a Mennonite church here, a liberal, very nurturing, supportive Mennonite church, and was very quickly made an elder in the church, which is really remarkable in the world of Mennonites for a woman to be made an elder. But and then she did go about, you know, spreading joy, helping other people, other old people, even though she herself was old and rather fragile, and that was how she how she survived, really, how she, you know, the grieving process, I guess. Not that that, as you know, most of us know, the grieving process never ends. I mean, it just takes on different shapes and forms. But yeah, certainly that was her answer.
For those who aren't familiar with the Mennonite church, what are the core tenets?
Let's see. The core tenets of the Mennonite faith, the Mennonite church, would be a pacifism for one, and also, you know, very specifically, it's an adult baptism. So the Mennonites are traditionally live, you know, the motto, in the world but not of the world. So living apart from society, apart from modern society. These are the traditional Mennonites who live in colonies, collective colonies. Very rule based and you know, patriarchal, authoritarian, mm-hmm. fundamentalist. Not healthy places, in my opinion, for girls and women. But there are different ways of being a Mennonite in the world, and I'm a Mennonite, and my mother's a Mennonite, and I'm a secular Mennonite mm-hmm. and a liberal Mennonite, and there are just different ways being in a city or being in a remote community in the middle of nowhere, living a kind of medieval lifestyle. Those are the sort of Mennonites that people know about, you know, in the dresses, yeah. the men in their overalls, et cetera. But there are other types of Mennonites.
The book Fight Night is very funny. I mean,
I'm glad to hear.
Oh no, that is as people listening to this conversation might think it does have right. serious elements and thoughtful parts of it. Not that humor can't be thoughtful, but I'm curious about the humor. Did you always know this was going to be funny, or is that just that Elvira and Swiver are kind of funny? So that's what happens.
Yeah, both, right? I mean, yeah, it's true. Elvira and Swiver are funny. But certainly, I mean, it's kind of, it's not necessarily a conscious thing. Okay, this is going to be a funny book, but it's where I go. And I had just finished writing Women Talking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that was a very, very intense, somber and difficult experience, writing about it, let alone, of course, you know, the women in real life haven't experienced it. Mm-hmm. But and I needed to, for my own, you know, mental well-being, I needed to move away from that. And I wanted the voice to be funny. I wanted Swift to be funny. I wanted her to be sort of belligerently funny, sort of subversively funny, even if she doesn't know that she's being subversively funny. And I wanted to, again, with that idea that I had of wanting my grandchildren to laugh. You know, this is what happens when you become a grandmother. You just suddenly become a clown. It's suddenly like the most important thing in your life is to get a smile, a reaction, just to, you know, make your kids happy, your grandkids. So I worked on that. That was a big challenge, obviously, you know, to find that tone.
So your novel, All My Puny Sorrows, the film adaptation yeah. premiered at the Toronto Film Festival. We've got a film adaptation of Women Talking with Frances McDormand, Rooney Mara, Claire Foy, and Jesse Buckley. What an amazing cast. You went to the set?
I did, yeah. I went to, there were a couple different locations, and it was fascinating. I had never, you know, I saw how hard actors work. I mean, I had, of course, assumed this, that it's mm-hmm. not an easy job, but yeah, I was blown away. It was amazing. It was very, very moving, very, seeing these long, long takes, particularly, you know, for the set of Women Talking, these long takes with the women in the loft, for instance, and, you know, and that concentration that they all had. I mean, just the focus, the talent, it was a surreal experience, but it was also, just so impressive.
Do we know about any adaptation of this yet?
No. I don't know. Nothing. No. So if there's anybody out there who, you know.
I'll check in with you this time next week.
Right, exactly.
I have a feeling. It's just come out. The name of the book is, I've already cast it in my head. The name of the book is Fight Night. It is a novel by Miriam Taves. Miriam, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you so much for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.